A lot of scriptures, and I'm going to move quickly. But I'll give you a lot of references. Always go back. If you miss anything, go to our website, download the podcast for free. Amen. All of our messages are on there. Amen. Hebrews 4. I'm going to start at verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, say rest. Rest. He would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and creative and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now I want you to go now to Genesis 2:2. And when you there, say amen. Taking notes, Genesis 2:2. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Say, rested.
Rested.
God rested. Do you think God was tired? No. When it said rested, he was still. Wasn't creating, wasn't in motion, he was still. God is trying to prove something to us in his word, that your blessing comes when you rest, not when you toil. Not when you're working hard and trying to do everything. Rest in him is where the blessing comes from. Go to Philippians 2:1. Philippians 2:1. Giving you a lot of scripture. Therefore, there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. Say joy.
Joy.
By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Say intent.
Intent.
One purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. That's good right there. I done preached the message already. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. Prepare the hearts for them to receive. We bind the distracted spirit right now. A foul and unclean spirit, you're bound in the works of the enemy, have already been canceled. And Father, I thank you that the mind, Father God, is ready to receive illumination and revelation to take root into their spirit, to their heart, and into their soul. In Jesus' mighty name, all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujahs. What I want to share with you is that God has made it a point for us to rest in his promises, rest in his word, and rest in his creation. And I read to you in Philippians what we are to do is to always look not for our own interest, but look out for the interest of others. Okay? That don't mean get in their business because you just want to know their interest. No, we say everything that you do with the heart that's willing to serve. Jesus came from the heavenly realm so that he can become a servant. He didn't come to be lowly and just he didn't have what he had before. He came to serve us. Okay? And because he came to serve us, he gave up everything that was in heaven. The shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept. Y'all know that scripture? Do you know why he wept? No. He wept because Lazarus had died. No. Because he brought Lazarus from heaven back here to earth. He says he wept, not because his friend had passed, but because he brought him out of paradise and brought him back here. Jesus wept. I don't know about you, but God wants us in a good place, that he will weep for you if you're not there. So if he's weeping for you if you're not there, then he has a plan in place to get you there. Amen. The next slide, please. When strange things happen, we've seen some strange things in here, have we not? A strange church, strange pastor, strange people, front row, striped dress. We serve a strange God. That means peculiar. It means different. Okay? Everybody that was during this time frame was trying to look to a God that they could create with their own hands or they could see. The problem was they didn't have an understanding that all their creation would never be their God. But we have people that had a tendency to always want to be around something they could see, touch, and feel that would be their God. There is places here on earth that they will not eat any meat, for they think that the cow is more sacred. That when they have the cow, they treat the cow like a god. I treat the cow like a good steak. I put it on the grill, mesquite or hickory, and I just cook it real good. It ain't no god to me. How is it then that we're going to go ahead and worship something that doesn't do nothing for you other than to feed you? I'm trying to show you is that God has a plan of redemption always in place for you and for those that are outside of his will and outside of his love. He always has a place. Go to Jonah 1, please. Jonah 1. If you don't know where that is, you can go. It's a small book. Small. But if you go to Jonah, I want to show you something that I believe that we have a tendency, we ourselves, to fall under the same kind of trap. And when you're there, say amen. We're going to read the book of Jonah. You say, Pastor, that's too long. No, it's not. Look at it. The book of Jonah. Jonah. Now, we all know about Jonah. What story do y'all remember about Jonah? The whale's belly. Oh, you want to preach. Ain't that right, Jonah? You didn't want to preach. Ain't that right, Jonah? Gone through some tough times, Jonah, haven't you? I'm talking about myself. Didn't want to start a church. I ain't going to start no church, you crazy. I'm going to go start a business, make money. Everywhere I went, people were like, we got to fire you. You ain't supposed to be here. Thinking, oh, because I'm there, y'all going to be blessed. No, because you're here, you causing us grief. Jonah gets a bad rap here. It ain't no story about a fish. I want to show you what the real story is here. Are you at Jonah? Begin reading in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city. Say great city. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Who's speaking? God. What did God call Nineveh? What did he call it? A great city. You know, in your wickedness, he still calls you great. He don't see your mess. So, well, Pastor, you said I can go sin. Go sin if you want to. God's, the Bible tells you clearly what happens. The wages of sin is death. Oh, but wait a minute. You said he don't see my sin. He don't see your sin. But the sin you created and the sin that you did is going to lead you down a path that you don't want to go on. So that you start crying out for him again. Oh, I need Jesus again. I need to find him because he's lost. Oh, you lost. You lost. Okay. So God calls it a great city. Now watch this, watch this. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Like you can run away from God, like he's never going to see you, not know where you're going. Like you could run from God. You know how many of y'all tried it? Everybody in this place has tried it. Everybody's trying to run from God and run away and not want to do what he's called you to do. It's all right. It's okay. And watch this. This is what the Bible says. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare. You know how they used to say, you pay a price every time. And went down into it to go to them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to run away, but I'm going to get in the ship. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Verse 5, then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was on the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone below into hold of the ship and lay down and fallen asleep. You know how you do when you know that God is after you and he's really, all you want to do is you just want to go to sleep. You know, when you come, that depression hits you real bad, or you're going to, I just want this day to end. I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to think about all the mess that came at me today. I just want to go to sleep. I had some things just go bad in my life today. I had all these kind of texts come across my phone. I had all these kind of things just, I didn't even want to deal with it. I just wanted to go to sleep. So he went even lower into the ship. Went even lower into the ship. So he could fall asleep. Like, you don't think God knows where you at? You think, oh, I'm going to get down so low that God won't even reach me in the hell that I'm in. He just forgot about the rest of the scriptures because the Bible wasn't written yet. So he says that there's no place too low that I can't reach you. There's no place too far that my hand can't get you. But Jonah was going to test everything. You know how we are. We're the Jonas. We test everything. Everything. Now, verse 6. So the captain approached him and said, how is it that you are sleeping? Y'all didn't get that one? He had some sleep aid. How is it you asleep? Because my allergies acting up. Shame on y'all that knew that. It's bad in here, man. I'll tell you. I gotta pray for them all the time. They just. How is it you're asleep? Get up and call on your God. Watch this now. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. Has God ever put you in a place where you feel like I'm not supposed to be in because they don't serve my God? Amen. Oh, yeah. You get to that job, like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for my job. Thank you. Lord Jesus, she wore that skirt a little bit too short this time again. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, Jesus, you know, oh we're going to get together afterwards, go have for a party. Oh, no, I can't do that. No. Ooh. Why? You some sort of Christian or something? You got that Bible with you all the time. What you got gonna do now? It's a setup. It's a setup. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, each man said to his mate, come let us cast lots so we may learn who is account is this calamity has struck us. In other words, whose fault is this? Let's cast lots, divination is what it is. And let's find out who it is. And God allowed that to speak. Just watch this. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. What you know now? How you know it's me? They said to him, tell us now. You see how exclamation? Tell us now. On whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Patient. In other words, what's your purpose? I just checked that spirit. Why are you on this boat? I want to know, what is your purpose? You know, when you run from God and you don't want to do what he's called you to do, other people are going to ask you, what is your purpose? What's your purpose in life? Because you live in like you don't care about life. You don't care whether you die. You don't care whether you take your own life. You just live in life carelessly and recklessly. You just don't care. Oh, people watch you. Yeah, especially if you're on the same boat with them. Mm-hmm. Same boat. In other words, you're doing the same thing, just like them, but something just kind of seems a little bit off because when calamity hits, you're the only one that's like, I still ain't surrendering to you. Well, yeah. That's not y'all? Okay, it's just me. It's just me. Just me. All right, okay. I'm just going to keep on moving. Mm-hmm. And where did you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? You know, they kept going. Where'd you come from? Who are you? Where are you from? What's going on with you? I want to know what's going on. Why are you the one that's causing all this problem? Watch this. He said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Revelation just hit. Not to Jonah. He already knew. Jonah's a man of God. He spoke truth unto these sailors. Then the men became extremely frightened. They said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. That's one thing about Jonah. Hey, I'm a fool. I'm running from God. We can't even get Christians today to tell the truth. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. They want to hide everything under the shanda. What's that? The presence of the Lord. He's right here next to me, too. I ain't doing that. I'll get off of that. So they said to them, what should we do that you see may become calm for us? For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. Isn't that one thing that you're in the middle of something? They already know it's your fault. You already told them it's God. He created the heavens and the sea. He created everything. And then it gets worse. I already told them. I ministered to them, all right? Can you get me out of this now? Y'all probably haven't heard the book like this. This isn't the Jonah story that I heard. Verse 12, he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Oh, now you want to commit suicide now? Because it's so bad. But you know God, and you want to commit suicide. You want to take your own life because you're running from God. So you always pay a price when you run. Oh, you always do. Throw me into the sea so the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. However, the men rowed desperately to return to land. Watch this. People around you are like, let me get away from this. Let me go back to land. Watch this. But they could not, for the sea became even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord. Oh, they called on the Lord. Your salvation now. Then they called on the Lord and said, we earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done us, you have pleased, done as you have pleased. So they picked up Jonah. Watch this, they were praying to God. We're about to do this something to this man of God. We don't want to get charged for it. His blood's going to be in our hands. But Lord, we don't really serve you, but we're going to pray to you because of the account of this man. But as we throw him into this sea, just forgive us. And you can kind of see Jonah like, Jonah, that's it. I'm done. I'm going home. Bye. I said, oh, this is crazy right here. We all want to get a quick way out, but it don't happen. They threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. That's quick. That's a quick deliverance, isn't it? How come you don't get the jokers out of your life like that to keep you in all the kind of storm that you're in? Okay now. All right, y'all didn't like that one, right? I love you. You got some jokers in your life that cause you all kinds of storms in your life, but you don't get rid of them. Your Lord, please remove them. He said, no, you remove them. You put them in your life. You get them off. You let him pay the fare to get on the boat. It's your boat. You let him pay the fare. Where was your discerning spirit to begin with? Just because they gave you a ring didn't mean that's your husband. Jonah, help me out, Jonah. Oh. Just because he bought you some flowers and some chocolate and took you out to eat one time to dinner, but you ain't got a phone call again to go to dinner again. He said, oh, let's just go to Las Palapas, have some nachos or something. We just went last week and you bought me steak, prime rib, you bought me everything, even the dessert to go with it. But now you want to just take me to Las Palapas and you don't, Dutch. You want me to pay my half? Oh, I don't think so. Mm-mm. Y'all didn't know Jonah was talking about y'all, right? Just trying to bring it real to you. It's rated R. Watch this. Verse 16, this is beautiful. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. See, you don't know sometimes the hell that you're going through. How they know that you're in God is when you can have the peace and rest in the storm. Even though you're in a place that you maybe shouldn't be in your life or your walk with God, but other people can see the peace of the Lord that's on you when you can rest in your turmoil, and they say, truly, that is a man or woman of God. Let me make a sacrifice unto that God.
Amen.
Brought salvation to these sailors. But what you don't understand, the region they were in, very, very wealthy. Import and exports. The ships of Tarshish were loaded with goods, loaded with silver, gold, gems, rubies, and diamonds. But let me just give you a little bit more background to this place called Nineveh. Go to the next slide, Will. Y'all watch me. Strange places in God, in time of need, he cried out. He remembered God, and we're going to get to the point where he was vomited out. This is a man of God. This is a prophet. Let me help you that want to be prophets in here. You don't want to be a prophet. You don't want to be a prophet. My wife is going to write a book about living with the prophet. It's going to be short. It's going to say, she wept. She wept. Day and night. Nineveh, let me give you some history of Nineveh. Nineveh, God called a great city. Jonah knew about Nineveh because of their wickedness. Don't you know sometimes you know you shouldn't go to a place, so you really do your best to stay away, right? But if God says, there's where you got to go, you're going to send me to do prayer ministry in the intensive care unit? You know I don't like the smell of hospitals. I don't like doctors. For you doctors in here, I love you. God bless you. I don't like needles. You're going to send me to the hospital? I'm not going. Not me. You send the other ministers. I pray from right here. Your word has no boundaries. You try all kinds of things. Lord, something's going on in my chest. Pray. Okay. I didn't have this pain in my chest before. What happened? Lord, oh, it's hurting more. I can't breathe. And then my wife walks in. Oh, you're in the Holy Ghost. I can't breathe. I feel the anointing. No, I can't breathe. The presence of the Lord is strong in here. No, I can't breathe. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. The pain didn't go away. I couldn't catch my breath, but I get a text. Go and pray for such and such in their intensive care. Oh, you got jokes? Okay, God. Yeah, I don't like going to the hospital. I'll tell you right now. It's got to be an act of God for me to go. So don't get mad if I don't show up at the hospital and this and that. I mean, hey, you see all kinds of people from the house of manna show up, but you don't see pastors. Don't get mad. I fight with God to go to the hospital. I do. Because I believe in something that's greater. That's just me. That don't mean that I can't bless your whatever you're going through and go and pray for you. That's just me. My problem. That's my problem. I take it to the cross all the time. All the time. All right? But he'll get you to do what you're supposed to do. Okay. Nineveh was that bad. So bad. This is how bad it was. Their history of how they treated people. If they mistreat any of their own people, they would take them into prison. They would scalp their skin off of their skulls, put it on a skull of a person that was already dead. It's just a skull. To show everybody else how wicked and how strong they were. Watch this. They would also cut the hand off of a prisoner while still alive, take the hand of the one they cut off, and make him shake his own hand in covenant. That's sick, isn't it? They would even hang babies up on a telephone, not telephone, but a pole, and hang it upside down. Show you that the parents were wrong. But God called it a great city. Yeah, see y'all like, oh, hey. Now you know why Jonah didn't want to go there. It's like, I'm not going over there. I'm about to be put up on this pole. They could cut my hands off. That's why the fear was there. Y'all probably didn't know that. I'm just trying to help you. All right, that's history. That's history. Okay, now watch this. We're on chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed. Oh, watch it. No, I'm sorry. I'll just go back. Verse 15. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay. Now we see Shamu up here. Shamu is a great fish. God called Nineveh a great city. The purpose of God is always greater than your personal will. So when they throw him off, all of a sudden comes the great fish that God created for Jonah. And everybody tries to figure out, well, is there a whale big enough that can swallow a man whole? I think it's just something of a symbolism. Think of it as, I've been next to Willie at SeaWorld. That's a big whale. And he's got teeth. We don't know what kind of whale this is, but it's great enough to make a point. Sometimes you got to be put in some ugly places to get you to where you need to be to fulfill God's purpose in your life. Now watch this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of soul. You heard my voice, for you have cast me into the deep and into the hearts of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Well, he gets real holy at this point now. You know how things start coming your way and you just start crying out to God and you bring all the references of the scriptures. I look my eyes towards the hills from where the help comes from. But he is in the belly of the whale and he's crying out, Lord, you got to help me. He didn't even drop the R and he just said, Lord, you got to help me. Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. See, now it makes you cry out in the times, but he has to get this man to a place called Nineveh. Let me give it to you in my terms here so you have a better understanding. The fish came to put him in his belly. He had to deal with the seaweed. You can read it for yourself. It's a small book. The seaweed is all around his neck. Oh, okay. All around the neck. He is choking and he is just trying to grab some air for himself. And it don't smell good. Say dung. Yeah. Have you ever been around the fish market when they've been cleaning the fish? It don't smell pretty. And if you like seafood, you probably won't like it then. But all of a sudden, all this mess, and he's crying out in the belly of the whale. But do you know that the fish had some sort of sonar capabilities to get him to Nineveh? I don't care what means, God is going to get you to your planned purpose. You may not like it, but you're going to get there. Amen. You can even do it the easy way, or you can do it the hard way. Jonah had a figured, I got this thing figured out. I'm going to run from God and run from his presence. I'm going to go on a ship where he can't find me. And I'm going to go even lower where he can't even see me. But he has a tendency to know exactly where you're at and the timing when to send the fish to get you to a place. He spent 3 days and three nights into the belly of the whale. When Jonah is vomited out by the whale onto the beach. That's a big old fish. And let this mother out onto the beach. You would think Jonah be praising God. Hey, Karabosika Basu. Yeah. Nineveh. Oh, Jesus. Where the fish? I will go back to the fish instead of this. What's going on here? And then watch this. Oh, I love it. Chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise. Oh, wait. He came and talked to him again? Uh-huh. Oh, you think because you messed up, God ain't going to speak to you? Oh, just because you were disobedient to God one time, he's not going to speak to you again? Or like he forgot his original intent. Okay. Arise and go to Nineveh. Oh, here you go again. The great city. Even in the way they were, vile, disgusting, it's still a great city. Because God always looks beyond your mess. And he sees the future. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. Here he says again, the next verse. Now he says, exceedingly great city. Wow, I guess when the presence of God shows up on the scene, you go from bad to exceedingly great. Because he sees the future. Now watch this. Verse 4. Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk. He cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was his message. He went through all kinds of trouble just to say one measly sentence. One sentence was his message, a sermon. When 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. I don't need no microphone. I don't need no internet. 40 days, Nineveh, you out of here. I know it for sure now. Peace. Gets out of the city to sit and watch. Ain't nothing happening, God. I went through all of that, and you ain't doing what you said? Oh, you know, when God speaks something and then you become obedient, you think that it's going to happen just because you did it? I want you to continue reading in the story. Jonah was always so concerned only about self, how it benefited him. He would only cry out to God when things were going bad on his behalf. How come he didn't cry out to Nineveh? I mean, to God for Nineveh. He only cried out for himself. Watch this. If you read in the story, he goes out to the desert and sees that nothing's happening. During that time, the king and the people, they repent and they give offerings unto the Lord. They repented. The whole city changed its ways. Revival broke loose. It revived the city, got them right back in its rightful place. What God was seeing all along, a great and exceeding city, because of the presence of God came in with a word. They repented, changed their ways, and Jonah gets mad. Jonah goes now out into the desert. He sits and he starts crying out, oh Lord, you're the reason why. You are so gracious. I knew you weren't going to do nothing because you're so good. I knew you weren't going to do nothing because you're so good and you're so kind, you're so compassionate. I knew you wouldn't judge them. Well, what was the problem to begin with? Should have just went, right? Yeah. Hindsight, you usually think, oh, I should have just did it when I was told to do it. But So he's sitting out there in the wilderness. Now you begin to see something take place. I'm going to die out of here. It's so hot. So God causes a bush to grow. And then the leaves cover and bring shade. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so gracious. You're so wonderful. You're a blessing to me. You always protect me in time of need. You always cover me and you shelter me. Oh, when things go good, you want to thank God then? But then watch this. Watch this. But then in the morning came a worm. That God sent a worm. Ate up all the leaves. You ever felt that? Like you're doing so good with God. Now, yay, this is a bless. Man, it's a bless. Where'd everything go? And now he's mad again at God. Mad. I knew it. You're just always changing, and you're going to leave me out here to die. And he looks back and sees that the people repented. What you don't realize is the story was never about a fish. It was never about Jonah. It was about Nineveh. If he can change a whole city in the midst of their mess, in the midst of them being so vile and disgusting and so horrible, don't you think he can come in and save you from your mess? Yes. Don't you think that Jesus can come in and save you and make you a great, exceedingly great and exceedingly great and exceedingly, not just good, but great, and not just great, but exceedingly great. Oh, he can come in and wreak havoc amongst the havoc and bring peace to allow you to rest in him. Jonah spent 3 days in the well. Jonah did. 3 days and three nights. Just like Jesus came in. He spent 3 days in the belly of the earth. 3 days and three nights. Jesus did. And Jesus looked upon all our sin. He says, that's a great and exceeding wonderful man, woman, child of God. I must take all of their sin and take it away from them. In 3 days and three nights, the well vomited him out of the belly of the well and put Jonah on the beach. 3 days and three nights Jesus spent in the tomb. The earth spit him out into paradise. You and I will be with him. There is nothing that you can do that will ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Regardless of what is going on in your life, where you've been and where you're going. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Never. And whatever you've been going through, know this. He is coming into your circumstance. And he will even send someone from afar to come in and speak a word into your life and saying that you will be transformed. You will be set free. You may have gone through a season of lack, a season of things being taken away, but I'm here to restore everything to you. That's the great God that we serve. The great God. Amen. Watch this. I want you to go real quick with me to Matthew 11. Go to Matthew 11. Go to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. And I want you to see this. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is not going to put more on you than you can handle. He is not going to allow you to go through something that you can't get yourself out of. He's going to go through it with you, and he's going to bring you out. The Pharisees and Sadducees asked, will you show us a sign? Will you show us a sign? And he said, as the sign was, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, greater is the Son of Man that will be here with you, that in 3 days and three nights, I will remove from you the reproach of man and all the yokes that have been on you. Every sin, every affliction, everything that has been coming against you, that has had you, your body weary, your soul vexed. In other words, to the point that you have nothing but weariness, sadness, I have come to set you free from that. We may fight against the will of God, but he's going to get what he wants. He's going to get you set free, and he's going to get you to a better place, a much better place. It doesn't always seem right. It doesn't always look like it's God, but you got to trust that he's going to do it. It doesn't feel good when you're in the belly. It don't smell good. It don't even look good. Sometimes it's so dark you can't even feel around you. You're afraid to see what you're going to touch. Something may be moving in the darkness, but it's Jesus coming to you. Just like the disciples that were in the boat and it was being tossed to and fro because of the storm, Jesus came walking. Came walking, was going to pass them by, but Peter cried out. Peter did. Everybody uses that. Well, you got to step out of the boat like Peter did. You can step out, but this is what God did. He brought them right back to the boat. He could have picked him up and took him across by himself, but he brought him back and put him right back in the boat because it was not yet his time. Peter didn't begin to preach until he got revelation knowledge, till later, the true revelation who Jesus Christ really is. Through that time of humbling, he realized, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything that I know, but I do trust the one that I know in. That's Jesus Christ. If you're going through a tough time, and you feel like I've been in this thing too long. Maybe I've ran from God. Maybe I've put things before God. I want you to stand to your feet. Stand before God. The Bible says that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. We go through tough times. If you're going through and you need him to come through, now is your time to receive the grace and mercy of God. I'm going to get you through this. You're not doing this alone. I hear the Spirit of God say, sometimes you feel like you're alone, even at your job, because people don't want to come around you, because sometimes you can be too harsh. Sometimes you can be real brass. Sometimes you can be to the point where I don't even want to talk to you because you don't know how to be welcoming. This message is for you. He's going to change the way you minister his word to the people. It may not be traditional. It may not be the way you normally would have done it. But he's going to get his word to the people. Jesus is the way out of your circumstance. But when you feel like it isn't happening fast enough, you're not going to get out soon enough. I want you to look to your left and look to your right, because he's right there with you. He's going to stay with you. He's not going to leave you, nor is he going to forsake you. And if he's challenged everything about you, it's because he's going to change everything about you. He may allow you to keep your character, to keep the way and how you get a little radical, a little crazy, because he wants you to be you, but understand he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now is your time to receive your salvation. And I'm not talking about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about saving you from your current situation. Some of us go through tough times. Some of us are in it right now. But the breaker anointing is going forth to make change in every area. And in this area of your life, you'll see that the latter is greater than the former. It may not feel like this is the right thing. I'm having to lose this or lose that. I've lost that. But your greater is still ahead of you. Because Nineveh, in the midst of their troubles, he said that's a great city. You are great people. In the midst of your trouble, he calls you great. He don't leave you. He stays with you. Lift your hands towards heaven if you can. Father, I just thank you right now that the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ has brought us to salvation, into the kingdom of God for eternity, that our souls are saved. But we first acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who was once crucified on a tree that was cursed, who was died and buried, in 3 days rose from the grave. Who went down to hell and took the keys from hell, death, and the grave, and has given us dominion and power and authority over all creation in heaven and in earth and beneath the earth. I thank you that you have given us dominion, and that as we walk or go through our seasons, whether we're hiding or whether we're running to you or running away from you, you are right there with us. Father, I just thank you right now for the hand of God to be upon their life, but that your face shall shine upon their life, that favor, grace, and mercy shall continually follow them all the days of their life. Reinstill hope, even though it's been deferred, even though it's been delayed. Your word says it will not tarry, it shall come forth. Father, I thank you that you will redeem those that people have come against, have lied upon, talked about, cheated on them. Lord, I thank you that this is the day of redemption. Jesus came down from the heavenly realm 33 years, 3 decades, and 3 years. I thank you for that as the number of God in which we are redeemed, restored. And Father, I just thank you that we have eternity with you. Lord, I just thank you right now for what you're doing in the lives of your children, your people, and to the bride, the church. I thank you, God, for truly you are for us and not against us. We submit our will unto you, God, and we say yes unto you, and we trust in everything that we do that you will carry us through for your purpose, and that we don't think to do things only for ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. Father, we thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen.